Can we call upon Lord's name three times together? Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. It's my privilege to be here. Greeting from the churches in Southern California.
Amen.
About 3 weeks ago, in a so-called co-workers meeting, we talked about the possible blending conference in SoCal. At that time, the first time I thought, why not SoCal and NorCal could blend together? But I knew it was not enough time to prepare. But inwardly, I had that longing for blending. And next day, I was invited to join this blending conference. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the body of Christ. Okay, this conference, we have a general subject. Please open up your outline. Let's declare the general subject. Our vision, our commission, and way to advance the Lord's recovery. So, three key words. Our vision. We have to see the vision of the Lord's recovery. And our commission. Our commission is to carry out what we see concerning the vision of God's economy. And the way is God ordained way. But the real way is Christ. Christ is the way. Okay, message one, let's read the title together. The vision of the Lord's recovery and the way to carry it out. The vision of the Lord's recovery. Firstly, we need to see the verse, Proverbs 29. Where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. So this is a serious matter. Seeing the vision. Vision denotes an extraordinary spiritual thing, an uncommon special thing. We need to have a fresh, updated vision of the Lord's recovery. Amen?
Amen.
We know we are all believers, and we are all servants of God. And we want to serve the Lord. But for serving the Lord, we need to have vision. Without vision, we will do things which we may think helpful, but actually damaging. In the book of Acts, we see a young man, Saul, who was zealous for serving God. But his way is to persecute the believers. And one day the Lord appeared to him in resurrection. While Paul, or Saul, that time, holding the documents from the high priest to catch more Christians on the way to Damascus. He saw the Lord in ascension. And he testified three times in the book of Acts. The Lord in heaven asked him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So Saul answered, surprisingly, who are you, Lord? The Lord answered, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. So this must be a big shock to Saul.
He was persecuting the disciples of Jesus on the earth. He never thought he would have persecuted Jesus in the heavens. So he fell onto the ground and he saw a heavenly vision. Although outwardly he became blind, but inwardly the eyes in his heart opened. He saw this man, Jesus, actually is God. He not only was a man and is still a man, but also he is the embodiment of triune God. He has ascended to the heavenlies. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And not only so, he also saw the disciples on the earth whom he persecuted are one with this heavenly Lord, this heavenly head. When the Lord said, "Why are you persecuting me?" This me is a big me. It's a universal great person. The head, Christ, is in the heaven, and his body was on the earth, composed of all his believers. And Paul realized, as he persecuted the members of the body of Christ, he persecuted the head. Because the Lord has dispensed himself as life to all his believers. The believers as the body, the Lord as the head, actually, they are organically one. Saints, we are organically one with our Jesus Lord.
Amen.
So Paul saw this vision. And from that time on, he was revolutionized. He became another person. This vision impacted and controlled all his life and his service. Even he used 14 epistles to explain, elaborate, and apply the heavenly vision he saw. So, saints, for serving the Lord, we all need to see the vision. And when we see the vision, this vision will become our inward motivation, our heavenly pang, pang, pang. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We hope after 2 days, we all see this heavenly vision.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Romans 1, point C. Let's read C together. Such a vision revolutionizes us, governs us, controls us, direct us, preserve us, keep us in a genuine oneness, and give us the boldness to go on. Amen. If we just consider how Apostle Paul encountered so many difficulties, persecutions, however, he went on faithfully. So eventually, he could testify in Acts 26, "I was not obedient to the to the heavenly vision." May the Lord bless us so we can all see this vision and not disobedient to this vision to the end of our day.
Amen.
Romans 2, let's read together.
The Lord's recovery today is to recover the church back to the beginning for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose and original intention regarding church.
Here we see there's a word, Lord's recovery. So point A is to say that the Lord is recovering certain matters
means that through the course of the church history, they have been lost, misused, or corrupted because of man's negligence and Satan's attack. Many truths, many proper practices in the church have been lost, misused, or corrupted. That God is restoring them to their original state or condition. For example, today, we see there are so many denominations, divisions among God's people. Even when I was a young person, I was not a believer. I asked the question to the believers, since you say among Christians you should love one another, you always emphasize love, why you Christians got divided? None of them can answer me. So this hindered me to receive the salvation. However, the Lord is doing the recovering work. Point B says, let's read together. In Matthew 19b, we see the principle of recovery. From the beginning, it was not had been so. From the beginning. Hallelujah. The Lord's recovery is to bring us back to the standard of the beginning. The God's original design. God's eternal economy. Now, we come to point C. Let's read together. Today, God desires to carry out a work of recovery to bring us back to his original intention. We want to see God's original intention. In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, there are three important matters from which we can see God's original intention. 1:26, we see God created man in his own image. What is the image of God? Christ. Christ is the image of invisible God. Colossians 1:15. So man was created according to the image of Christ. For what? So that God in Christ can enter into man to become man's life, satisfaction, and also God could express himself through this man. Then the second thing we see in Genesis, God put man in front of the tree of life. And the word says, the tree of life is in the middle of the garden. In the middle. It's a very prominent place. Right? What does it mean? So, the tree of life signifies that Christ to be life to man in the form of food. Praise the Lord. God wants to be life to man in the form of food. So all Adam need to do is to eat him. And by eating this tree of life, man could receive the life of God and even to be constituted with God's life for expressing him. How do we know this tree of life signifies Christ? In John 15, 1, the Lord said, I am the true vine. So Christ is a tree, right? And John 11 said, I am resurrection, I am life. So you put these two verses together, he is tree, he is life, so Christ is the tree of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the
third manner we see. God put man, Adam, into a deep sleep. That signifies Christ was crucified on our behalf on a cross. And God took the rib from his side to build a woman. That signifies the church. So this picture we see, God's building the church out of the rib, which is from the side of Christ. The rib signifies Christ's indestructible, unbreakable, eternal life, which flow out of his pierced side for imparting his own life to his people for the producing and building up of the church. So now we can see God's original intention in creating man in the book of Genesis. Okay? So this is crucial. From Eve, we see everything in Eve is from Adam, right? That means everything of the church should be out of Christ. If anything is not of Christ, should not be in the church. Okay, so now we go on, next point. Point D. Let's read. Brothers and sisters, we believe for God is doing a recovery work everywhere. The ultimate But Watchman Nee spoke this in 1948. He pointed out, in his heart, the most difficult part of the entire Bible to be fulfilled is in Ephesians 4, which is related to the oneness of the body and the release of the function of all the members in the body for building up the body. However, he said here, we believe. Right? So, saints, do you believe this is going to be fulfilled?
Amen.
I believe.
Amen.
Can we all say, we believe?
We believe.
Amen. Romans 3. Now, let's read. God's eternal economy is to have the church as the body of Christ for the corporate expression of the triune God. Okay, so the body of Christ is the church. That is what God's eternal economy is to gain. God's economy, it has a goal. The goal of God's economy is to gain the body of Christ as the corporate expression of triune God. However, Satan, let's read next point. Satan, the enemy of God, exceedingly active in working to frustrate God's purpose for producing many substitutes for Christ, dividing the body of Christ, and killing the function of the members of the body. Okay, see, threefold strategies from Satan. The first is to produce many substitutes Christ, like ethic teaching, like even law, Ten Commandments, right? Some kind of teaching emphasize good behavior is in this category. Or philosophy can also replace Christ. We see this problem in the book of Colossians 2. And the second strategy is to divide the body of Christ. I mentioned there are so many divisions, denominations on the earth. Even Christians in denominations, they already consider this is something okay. What's wrong with that? Once I told a person is a Christian, he asked me, where do I meet? I said, I meet in the church in Anaheim. He said, what is church in Anaheim? What do you mean? I said, it is church in Anaheim. What is the denomination? I said, no denomination. He said, I don't get it. See, the enemy attacked the body of Christ to such a extent. Most of the believers are blinded. They never thought, or even slightly, but they never believed it is possible that Christ could have one body, one expression on the earth. Amen. And the third thing is to kill the function of the members of the body. We know the clergy lady system is this in almost every Christian groups, in Catholic, in Christianity, right? You have clergy system, pastor, priest, those are the professional who can serve God. The other laity, their main function is sitting and listening. But today, when I see you prophesying, I was so encouraged. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
We all can prophesy one by one.
Amen.
The Lord is doing a great recovering work. Okay, Romans 5, let's read together. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of Christ as our center, reality, life, and everything. The recovery of the oneness of the body of Christ and the recovery of the function of all the members of the body of Christ. Okay, you can see here we have threefold recovery. The first is to recover Christ. Let's declare it again. Center, reality, life, and everything. This first aspect. The second is the recovery of the oneness of the body of Christ. And the third is the recovery of the function of all the members of the body of Christ. I don't have much time. I have to go quickly. Forgive me. Point A. God's intention is to have a recovery purely and holy for holy of the person of Christ. Can we read one together? God wants nothing but Christ, and in the eyes of God, nothing counts except Christ. Nothing counts except for Christ. See, when Peter, James, and John, three of them were brought to the mountain of transfiguration. They saw Christ in glory, in his transfiguration. So Peter was excited. He's also, you know, that time, Elijah and Moses appeared, conversing with Christ. And Peter said, oh, that's wonderful. Let's set up the three tents, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. And all of a sudden, the Father spoke, said, this is my son, right? My beloved, in whom I have found delight. Hear him. And all of a sudden, both Moses, Elijah disappear. Moses signified the law. Elijah signified the prophets. They all gone, right? Christ is the fulfillment and replacement of Moses and Elijah.
Amen.
Hear him only.
Amen.
In God's economy, Christ is not only the center. He is also the circumference. Circumference. And also, he's the content. He is the goal. He is the end. Actually, he is everything.
Amen.
Okay, so point two, please read.
Christ is
the preeminent
in God.
God's old creation,
in
God's new creation, and in God's exaltation. Okay, you see, there's so much to say here. Christ, as the center, that means he's the preeminent one, in Godhead, right? We see he is the image of invisible God, and also in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he is the preeminent one in Godhead. Also, he is the preeminent one in the old creation. We know all things were created through Christ, in Christ, and unto Christ means for Christ. In Christ means in the power of Christ. That means all the creatures bear the characteristic of Christ's power. You know, the famous painter, when they finish their paint, they sign a little place in a hidden way. In the universe, if you see the beautiful scenery, you see all the wonderful creatures, you have to see each one bears the characteristic of Christ's power, because Christ created them. And also, Christ is the hub. All things cohere in him. So if you consider all the creatures are like a big wheel, and Christ is the hub, and Christ is the spoke that hold all things together. Without Christ, if you take Christ away, all things just collapse. Okay, this wonderful Christ is also the first one, is the head of the new creation, the body. Eventually, in the coming New Jerusalem, Christ is still the center. Hallelujah. And this one is our life, right? It's our life. Okay, let's come to the next point. Christ is everything to the believers, our allotted portion, our life, our hope of glory, our necessities, and enjoyment. Okay, so if you read these verses, you realize Christ, he is the real good land for all of us to enjoy, right? He is the real food, real water, real rest. See, you are all sitting on a chair. But without Christ, a best chair cannot give you true rest. Because Christ is the reality of all the positive things in the universe. And Christ is the reality of all the teaching doctrines. Without Christ, all are just empty. Amen? Okay, so Christ is the necessities, means, you see, Christ is food, is water, is air. In Gospel of John, we see all these items. Let's come to 4. Christ is the divine provision, right? Power to us, wisdom to us from God, as our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Okay, Christ is the divine provision. We see Christ, for the past, he is our righteousness, because in Christ we are forgiven. Then Christ is our sanctification, means Christ, through his life in us, and by enjoying his divine life, we are being sanctified in our soul. And Christ is our redemption. That means one day our body will be glorified, redeemed in his divine glory with his divine life. Okay, point 5. Let's read together. Christ is everything to the church, the head of the body of the head, the foundation, the cornerstone, and all the members of the new man. Okay, Christ is everything to the church. Saints, this is important. So when we see one another, we should not just see, oh, this brother, this sister speak well. No, we have to see Christ is all and in all. Amen. We know Christ is in all, right? Because he's the life-giving spirit. But also, we need to see Christ is all. Christ is each every member in the body of Christ. He is the unique constituent of the one new man. I think my time is up. I stop here. Brother Terry will share more. Amen.
this one on? No. No. This one's on. Praise the Lord that we can be here this weekend. You might wonder, why this subject? Our vision, our commission, and the way to advance the Lord's recovery. It's important for us to know who we are and what we're doing here. And it's easy, after being in the church life many years, or maybe even not that many, to just take the church life in a routine way, right? You know, there's the Lord's Day morning meeting, there's a prayer meeting, you probably have a group meeting during the week, you have the morning revival, you enjoy it every day. But for what? What's our purpose? What's our goal? We have to have a vision. We are not just another Christian group. We are not just doing something meaningless here, right? This is the Lord's recovery. As Brother Paul shared, God had something and he lost it. He lost the proper expression of the body of Christ, right? It was there at Pentecost and in the early church, but it got damaged by all kinds of things, right? By men's natural concepts coming in, eventually by hierarchy, by replacements for Christ. Eventually, all these things killed the body. Just like, okay, my body, if I'm Christ with a body and you want to destroy me, there's just three things you need to do. Replace the content, right? And it's no longer me inside. It's a body, but I'm not there anymore, right? Christ is not there anymore. There's a church, so-called. There's Christians, but Christ is not the content, right? And then paralyze me, right? Inject me with something that makes it so I can't move. Maybe one finger can move, you know, and this foot can move, right? And then the ultimate thing is chop me up into thousands of pieces, right? That's what happened to the body of Christ. That's why, like Paul said, it's so confusing today. You know, a brother said one time, the Muslims have a better testimony than the Christians because they're the same everywhere. Well, actually, they're divided too, right? They have Sunni and Shia. But the Christians have probably 20,000 different kinds of Christians. So if you preach the gospel to somebody, they might say, well, what kind of Christian am I supposed to be? You tell me I need to be a Christian. Which one of the 10,000 or 30,000 am I supposed to be? That's why the Lord said in John 17 that they all may be one, that the world may believe. Why doesn't the world believe? Because the Christians are not one. There is no testimony of the body of Christ. But the Lord has a recovery. God will not stop until he gets what he's after, right? So we don't have the time to go into all the details, but the Lord began moving. Even after Satan got to the bottom, it's like the Lord said, is that all you can do? Have you done everything? You've got clergy, laity, you've paralyzed all the members, you've replaced Christ with all kinds of other things. Okay, now I'm going to do something. I'm going to recover, right? I'm going to gain people who will come back to Christ as the content and who will practice the oneness of the body and who will become normal, functioning members of the body of Christ. So if we go to B, point B, let's read that together. The Lord desires to recover the oneness of the body of Christ. Like Paul said, it almost seems like Christians just take for granted that's impossible, right? I mean, but you think, okay, how many Christs are there, Rich? How many Christs? Okay, so how many bodies does he have? One. And the church is the body of Christ. So how many churches are there? There's only one church. The church is unique. The church, unique means there is no other one, right? Unique doesn't mean it's kind of special. No, it means unique. It's only. Only that. Okay, a good example, and people ask, they think the Lord's Recovery is our name. No, Lord's Recovery is not our name. It's a fact. there is a Lord's recovery. And we may be in it or we may not be. Just because you're in the churches, it depends on whether you're in the reality. But when you're in the reality, you are part of the Lord's, we are part of the Lord's recovery. And also people think, oh, your name is the local church. No. Local church is just a description. The churches are local. They're in their localities, right? But a good example to me is the moon, right? On Earth, there's only one moon, right? And because it's unique, does it have a name? What's the name of the moon? It's just the moon. The church. The church is just the church because there's only one. But you can talk about, you can go outside, I don't know what the weather's like tonight, but you might be able to look up and say, wow, the moon is really beautiful in Burlingame. Somebody else could say, well, the moon's really beautiful in New York tonight. Somebody else could say, well, the moon in Paris is beautiful. Are they talking about three different moons? It's one moon, but it's expressed and enjoyed and realized in different places. This is the reality of the church. There is just one church, the body of Christ, but it is expressed as local churches in city after city, right? Let's read, I want to read three first, and then we'll go back to two. Let's read three. The unique body of Christ is expressed in many localities as the local churches. The one universal church, the body of Christ, becomes the many local churches, local expressions of the body of Christ. This can be seen very clearly. Well, just consider, if you got saved, you lived in Jerusalem and you got saved in AD 50, did you have to ask, what church should I go meet with? There was only the church. Only the unique. Somebody said one time, a brother was riding on a bus with somebody else, and that person was a Christian. He got to talking. The person asked him, what church do you go to? What church do you belong to? He said, the same one as the Apostle Paul. That's a reality. That's a reality. There is only one church. There will always be only one church, right? But we have to express it practically where we live. So, like it says, that one universal church, the body of Christ, is expressed, becomes many local churches as the local expression of that one body. So then, let's read two. The body of Christ is uniquely one universally. Fellowship of the body of Christ also is uniquely one universally. This means it's not enough that just in your locality you meet all the believers. You know, when we say we're the church in Roanoke Park or the church in Burlingame, people might say, oh, you mean somebody else that lives in Burlingame, a Christian, is not the church? No. Every believer in Burlingame is a member of the church in Burlingame. It's part of the church in Burlingame. They just don't know it. And they don't practice it. Right? But we're not excluding. But even if you have that kind of oneness within a locality, that's not enough. We need to be one with all the local churches throughout the earth. There's only one fellowship. If there's a local church that does not fellowship with the rest of the churches, that's not a proper expression of the body of Christ. That is not a local church. That's a local sect. That's why we have blending. That's why we're doing this weekend, that we can blend. You should be able to go to any locality in the Lord's recovery, and you are not a guest. You are not a visitor. You are a member there of that church. And the flavor should be the same. The taste should be the same. The spirit is the same because there's only one fellowship, one unique fellowship of the body of Christ. And I believe in the early 60s when Brother Lee came to this country, he fought the battle for the ground of the church. But in more recent years, we've fought the battle for the blending, for the reality of the body of Christ, to go beyond just one city, one church, to have the blending with all the saints for the body. Okay, then. I'm even more burdened for the next point, right? Let's read C. The Lord wants to recover the function of all the members of the body of Christ to practice the New Testament economy according to the God-ordained way. If you just have the recovery of Christ as the content, and now you've got my body all in one, it's all one, it's not pieces there, pieces there, but there's still something. That's not enough. This body has to operate. This body has to move. This body has to, it's organic, has to organically function. Otherwise, it's not a body. So, but Satan has done a job, not only of dividing all the Christians, but convincing all the believers that only certain people can do certain things. Only certain people can preach the word. Only certain people can shepherd others. Only certain people can know the truth, right? Only the ones, you got to send them to a seminary, and they got to be trained, and then you let them do everything. You know, one time, my father was in a place like that, in the Catholic Church, and I tried to preach the gospel to him after I got saved, and I showed him some verses in John chapter 3 about you must be born again. I explained what that was, and he said, well, that's what you think it means. I said, well, what do you think it means? He goes, well, that's not my job. That's the priest's job. I'm not supposed to know what it means. The priest is supposed to tell me what it means. And I thought, that's so sad, right? But most places you go, there's one person speaking, and everybody else comes on Sunday to hear a message and go home, and they think that's what it is to be a Christian. But let's read the next point. Point one. All the believers are members of Christ, priests of God, branches of Christ, and slaves of the Lord. How many believers are? All the believers. Right? When you got saved, whether you like it or not, you became a member of the body. Whether you like it or not, you became a branch in the vine. Whether you like it or not, you became a priest. And whether you like it or not, you became a slave. The Lord doesn't have any believers who are not his slaves. He just has good slaves and bad slaves, right? You are a slave. It's just a matter, are you a good and faithful slave or a wicked and slothful slave? Are you a fruit-bearing branch? You are a branch. There's nothing you can do to not be a branch if you believed in the Lord. But are you a fruit-bearing branch, or are you a branch that doesn't bear fruit and will be cut off, right? Are you a member? Absolutely. But are you a functioning member, or are you a paralyzed member? Right? This is, the Lord will ask us when he comes back, where's your fruit? Right? What, as a slave, did you serve me? Right? As a member, did you function? Right? So, but I think people think that's impossible, because of the system. The system has no way to perfect the members. Unless you go to a seminary and supposedly you get perfected there, you know, and then you can serve and you can function. But if you read Ephesians 4, that chapter that Watchman Nee was the most concerned about, could it ever be fulfilled? It starts with the Lord gave some, right? He gave some special gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds, teachers. For what? Not to do the work themselves, but for the perfecting of the saints. If you are a member, you need to be perfected. If you're a branch, you need to be perfected. If you're a priest, you need to be perfected. And if you're a slave, you need to be perfected, right? So we should all give ourselves to the perfecting, right? That's then all the members functioning build up the body, right? Let's read 3. The body is built directly by all the members of Christ functioning, each in his own measure. I think, as one brother's been sharing a lot in the conferences lately, you have a portion of Christ that nobody else has. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't look at somebody else's function and judge yourself according to that. Oh, I can't do that. Yeah, but there's something you can do he can't or she can't, right? Every member is necessary. But every member needs to be perfected. That doesn't mean just by receiving the Lord right away. You need to enjoy the Lord, and that grace will constitute a gift in you. But you also need perfecting. You need training. You need, we'll get onto it tomorrow. You need to know how to get into the Word to have it constituted into you. Because most of your functioning as a member of the body is by speaking God. To unbelievers as the gospel, to newly saved ones as shepherding, to one another for perfecting, and on the Lord's Day morning for prophesying. So you have to learn the Word. You have to be perfected, right? I want to read something. This is from the ministry. Bro Lee said, recently I read that certain leading ones among the denominations came together with the burden to evangelize the entire world in the coming years. But they concluded that they were short of manpower. The Southern Baptist denomination alone has millions of members. I think it has like 10 or 15 million. How can they be short of manpower? It is because for many years the speaking of only one man has nullified the function of the members, making them useless in preaching. The preaching in the denominations depends upon a small number of clergy who are produced by being educated in their seminaries. All the rest are considered laymen, not knowing theology or how to properly read the Bible, speak from the Bible, or quote the scriptures. Instead, they know only to hire a pastor, come to the Sunday morning service to listen to him. This practice nullifies all the attendance week after week and year after year. Today, for the evangelization of the world, there is the need of thousands of preachers to go out, but there's a shortage of believers who can proclaim the gospel in an adequate way. This is a poor situation. I went back recently reading Brother Nee. There's a group of messages called The Resumption of Watchman Nee's Ministry, which was mostly his speaking in 1948. And if you go back and read that, this was his main burden, was there have been many messages released through him on Christ as the centrality and universality of God, right? And he's the one who recovered the matter of the ground of the church to have the oneness. But his burden was the rising up of all the members to function. He called it the one-talented ones. He said, when we see the one-talented ones, here he said, when I was in England, Brother Austin Sparks asked me what chapter in the Bible is the hardest to fulfill. I told him the hardest would be Ephesians 4 on the perfecting of the saints. After reading that chapter, I'm very concerned that this chapter will not be fulfilled. For the past 2,000 years, Ephesians 4 has not yet been fulfilled. According to the present condition, I'm afraid that given 2,000 more years, this chapter will still not be fulfilled. If this is the case, humanly speaking, the Lord will not be able to come back. It's true the church is in desolation outwardly, but the question today is whether or not there is a group of people who will stand on God's side to receive God's riches and who will pay the price to appropriate these riches. And then he said, we believe God is recovering the most difficult thing today, right? I have studied the Bible and I have prayed, but I still do not have the assurance the condition of Ephesians 4 will be fulfilled in the church today. Among God's children, there's much confusion, all kinds of divisions. When will we be one? Well, I think we're closer to that than when this was spoken. Yet, brothers and sisters, we believe there will be a day when God's recovery will reach the fulfillment of Ephesians 4. God is doing a recovery work everywhere. The ultimate among all these works may very well be the recovery of the body testimony. Right? If the Lord has spiritual giants throughout history, right? You can go read the histories of, you know, the John Huss and Martin Luther and John Nelson Darby, you know, Brother Lee and Brother Nee. But we don't have them anymore, and I don't think there'll be any more like that. What does the Lord need now? What's he waiting for now? He's waiting for every little member to function. Every little member to experience Christ, and every little member to function. Okay? And how do you function? Let's go to Roman numeral 6. It starts to talk about what we want to get into, some practical things this weekend of how we can be perfected to function, right? Let's read 6. The practice of PSRP, pray reading, studying, reciting, and prophesying, is the inflow. Remember to be constituted with the riches of Christ revealed in the Bible in order to dispense these riches into others. Starting in 1984, after Brother Lee finished covering the whole New Testament with life studies, he was so burdened that the whole New Testament had been opened up. But how much of it was in us? He said, it's on your shelves. How much of it has been constituted into you? And constituted means in a way that you can speak it to somebody else. If you can't speak it to somebody else, it has not been constituted in you. He said, we've read the life studies like reading magazines or reading a novel. You read it and you enjoy it. But at the end, somebody says, what did you read? Well, there's something in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, something about God's government. I don't remember exactly, right? There's the burden. At that time, Brother Lee gave one whole book on the vision in the Lord's recovery. What's our vision? But then the next book after that was the way to carry out the vision. And what was the main point? Was bring the saints into the truth. The word. The word is the way to carry out the vision. Every saint needs to be skillful in the word, constituted in the word. Of course, we have to also be filled with the Spirit. You need the Spirit and the word. Okay, and then that's the inflow. That will equip us. That's the gasoline, right? What's the car? The car is in Roman numeral 7. Let's read that. The practice of BNPB, begetting, preaching the gospel, nourishing, having home meetings, perfecting, having small group meetings, and building is the outflow. Remember to function for the building up of the organic body of Christ. Brother Lee went back to Taiwan in 84 to overturn the system because the churches were in stagnation. No increase. Just big meetings with one person speaking. He was experimenting, trying, and looking in the Word. What is the God-ordained way? The God-ordained way is not to have one person speaking and everybody listening. What is it? Eventually, through much labor, they discovered these four, right? It's begetting. How? By preaching the gospel. How? Not by big gospel meeting, but by every saint begetting, by visiting people, visiting your relatives, visiting your neighbors, visiting people to speak to them, just like the Lord spoke to one by one, right? The woman at the well, Nicodemus. He didn't have big gospel meetings, one by one visiting, right? And then nourishing. Once they're saved, that's not the end. That's the beginning. If you just had a baby, that's not the end. Your work has just begun, right? You have to go there and take care of that new one again and again and again and perfect them in the basic things, to know they have a spirit, to know how to pray, to know how to touch the Lord in the Word. Many, many things, you have to do. Not enough to just come Lord's Day morning to a meeting and go home the rest of the week. We need to beget. We need to nourish, right? And then perfecting is the small groups. We'll get into this tomorrow. What are the small groups for? The small groups are not just for saints who've been in the church life for 20 years to come together with the same saints who've been in the church life for 20 years. And I say something to Rich that he already knows, and he says something to me that I already know. Somebody said, that's the meeting of the 12 apostles. No. No. The small groups are the vehicle to carry out begetting, carry out nourishing, carry out perfecting, and carry out building. They should, Brother used the term vital, living and active. Not just living, but active. What are the active? What's the action? Action is visiting people. Action is preaching the gospel. Action is shepherding, right? And, of course, there's perfecting one another. There is that. We need that. But our small groups need to go beyond just taking care of one another, right? And then finally, prophesying for building up, right? Building is, it says, he who prophesies builds up the church, right? And we need more and more perfecting in our prophesying. So I just want to read You know, we need to be balanced. Brother Lee said, our work must be comprehensive. Brother T. Austin Sparks suffered a loss in his ministry because he focused only on being spiritual. As a result, he had no second generation. Even though we should take this as a warning, we must not focus merely on numbers. That's for sure. We must also have truth, the divine life, and a proper transcendent and living church life. Right? We're not giving up. When we talk about carrying out these things, it doesn't mean we drop being spiritual, having life, having truth, right? He says, during our first, he says, this is our comprehensive, he uses the word comprehensive leading. During our first 7 years in Taiwan, the work was correct because it was comprehensive. Later, we were influenced to emphasize the pursuit of spirituality. Although it's not wrong to pursue spirituality, we lost some of the blessing that we had in the beginning because we overemphasized spirituality. Rather than overemphasizing any item, we should be comprehensive. We should care for the truth, life, church life, preaching the gospel, and meeting in districts and small groups to gain people and preserve them, right? Then I'll just read the last part. This start as being faithful to the vision we have seen. Our goal will never change. This is Brother Lee. I hope to be able, this was in 87, he said, I hope to be able to see the success of this way while I am still on the earth. However, I do not know whether the Lord will allow us to succeed right away and whether it will be worked out while we are still alive. The Apostle Paul saw a vision very clearly, but what he saw was not worked out in his time. However, because he had the assurance that what he had spoken was the truth, he continued to speak, whether people agreed or opposed. We must have the vision, and even more, we must be faithful to the vision we've seen. Just as Paul said to King Agrippa, therefore, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So I hope all of us, none of us are here in a routine way. This is not a routine place. This is the Lord's recovery, right? And so I hope in the coming meetings we'll enter in more to how we can fulfill our commission. We have the vision, but we also have a commission. We have some brothers. We have some brothers, right?
We asked the five brothers selected to give the confirming word to come to the mic. Can we have 2 minutes each?
Very much appreciate the speaking by our brother Paul and our brother Terry. That what touched me were these two words. First, the vision, and second, the way. We first need to see the vision of the Lord's recovery. And then we need to have the way to carry out the vision. I was very especially touched that we need to have our vision that is fresh and up to date. As the brothers were speaking, I was just wondering, what's my life for? Why am I working so hard, you know? Saints, our family life, our work life, our church life must align to the vision of the Lord's recovery. Amen. The vision of God's eternal economy, Amen. Which is to have the church as the body of Christ for the corporate expression of the triune God. Amen. This weekend, we also need to have a fresh vision of the Lord's recovery. The Lord's recovery is to recover three things. First, recovery of Christ as everything. Second, the recovery of the oneness of the body of Christ. And third, the recovery of the function of all the members of the body of Christ. And I appreciate that the most excellent way to recover the function of the members of the body of Christ are by these two practices, PSRP and BNPB. You know, when Brother Terry was sharing, I was reminded that I heard this before, you know. I was in college in the late 1990s, and this matter of PSRP and BNPB was shared. I was inspired, but there was personally inadequate follow-up to carry out these burdens, these life practices. And I'm thankful that the Lord is speaking to us again after 25 years to release the same burden. And we're going to be getting into this weekend, and these are not just methods. These are the very life practices to carry out our vision and our commission. So May we really give ourselves this weekend to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches through our brothers in the coming days.
Amen. Well, hallelujah, saints. Amen. I'm so happy to be here today. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so good to see all the saints. You know, Brother Brian shared in the prophesying time about, struggling today. And I had kind of a similar feeling. Inwardly, I just felt a struggle within. And I just realized, and eventually that struggle caused me to call on the Lord and to pray. And I just realized that, this weekend is really, it's not a small thing for us to be here, right? And the enemy knows it, right? So he is, kind of discouraging us, you know what I mean? But hallelujah, saints.
Amen.
Hallelujah, we can be here.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah, we can hear these words.
Amen.
You know, I was really touched that, the Apostle Paul was going in a certain direction, right? And then the Lord stopped him, right? And he saw a heavenly vision,
Amen.
Right? And this vision changed his life.
Amen.
Oh, saints, oh, may we all see this heavenly vision.
Amen.
You know, so wonderful this weekend that weekend that we will hear about our vision, our commission, and the way to advance the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Oh, saints, may we come to every meeting. May we come open. May we come with our hearts open, our ears opened, right? Ready to receive the Lord speaking.
Amen.
May the Lord speak to us, right? A heavenly vision, right? Regarding the Lord's recovery. I just really enjoy these points. You know, but I was just touched. Oh, saints, may we have a heavenly vision, right? That gives us a heavenly pum, pum, pum. Oh, saints, right? In our church life, right? We need to have a pum, 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 right? We need to have purpose in our church life. So praise the Lord, saints. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the Lord's recovery.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the Lord's recovery. About 52 years ago, I received the Lord, and I was so happy. And then right away, I said to the Lord, where do I go? What do I do? And immediately I began to seek out of thousands of different denominations, where should I go? And there was one brother who took me in, but eventually because he didn't agree with something I said or a practice I had, basically I didn't speak in tongues, he rejected me. You know, this is the way, this is the enemy's tactic, right? To divide the body of Christ. And the Lord's recovery is the recovery of the oneness of the body of Christ.
Amen.
It's the oneness of Christ as a reality in everything in our living, the oneness of the body of Christ, and the recovery of the function of every member. And this cannot happen in a divided situation, right? This cannot. Anyway, praise the Lord, saints. When I touch the recovery, and the recovery, by the way, is not a name. This is not a name. You're the Lord's recovery, or I'm the Lord's recovery. No, this is a reality. This is something we need to enter into. This is something we need to see and enter into. But anyway, when I touched something of the Lord's recovery, there was a vision. Maybe not as strong as the Apostle Paul, but it was something that controlled me, directed me, and kept me. And it's kept me here to this very day. And I think it's kept a lot of us here.
Yes.
But we need this vision refreshed. We need this vision strengthened.
Amen.
We need this vision burning in us.
Amen.
So that we can move again.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Grant us such a fresh vision of your recovery.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is a God of recovery.
Amen.
Appreciate the matter of Christ being everything, right? This is a matter of the head. And for that, we need revelation. And then the matter of the oneness of the body, right? This is a body matter. And praise the Lord, we have the oneness, and yet we're still learning to practice the one accord. And I hope that in this conference we do more and more of that by learning to minister Christ to one another. But I really appreciate the practice or the recovery of the practice of the functioning of the members of the body. I was really impressed in Ephesians chapter 4 that it is the operation and the measure of each one part that causes the building up of the body of itself in love. And, you know, I don't know what the math is, how many five talent versus two talent versus one talent members, but I'm pretty sure that most of the saints are one talented members. And I appreciate that in Matthew 25, it was the one talented member, right, that despised what they have. And, you know, saints, we, no matter if we're one talent, right, there's no fractional talents, right? We have at least one talent. And it's through the functioning of the one talented members, for the most part, that the body will be built up. Amen. So praise the Lord. With that view in mind, we should have the same feeling as Paul to shepherd the other members of the body. We ourselves are still learning. We're still practicing. We're still being perfected. But just like new parents, there's no new parents that know how to raise children, right? You have to do it through practice. So may we see more in this conference of how to shepherd one another or be shepherd to shepherd others so that all the members of the body can function for the building up of the body.
Amen. Our vision, our commission, and the way to advance the Lord's recovery. I don't know about you, but I just felt like what a blessing our ears could hear this. This has to be the top blessing of a human being. You know, I just felt like I was Mary sitting at the Lord's feet as he was speaking and unveiling his heart's desire to us. Actually, I'd just like to do what Mary did and break my alabaster jar on him. I'd like to give you my whole future, Lord. My entire being. All my relationships. All my possessions, amen. All my time. Amen. Lord, this is my vision. Yes. This is my commission. Amen. Yeah, we are just so privileged. How about if we all just speak or declare the general subject? Our vision, our commission, and the way to advance the Lord's recovery. And we want to be constituted with the truth, right? We want to be constituted with the word. We want to be constituted with the ministry that we could preach the gospel effectively with our companions, to beget ones, to nourish and cherish ones with our companions, and to perfect them and build them up. We're here to build up the organic body of Christ. What a blessing that we could be here this weekend. And may we give ourselves afresh to what the Lord's doing in the churches in NorCal. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Let's pray with our neighbor for 30 seconds. Amen.